son of Adam.
I've brought you the apple you wanted, sir.
Well done. Well done, son of Adam. For this fruit you hungered and thirsted and wept. No hand but yours shall sow the seed of the tree that is to be the protection of Narnia. Throw the apple towards the riverbank where the ground is soft.
Yes, sir.
It is well thrown. Let us now proceed to the coronation of King Frank of Narnia and Helen, his queen.
King Frank and Queen Helen were dressed in strange and beautiful clothes, and from their shoulders rich robes flowed out behind them. Their heads were bare, but Helen had let her hair down, and it made a great improvement in her appearance. Yet it was neither hair nor clothes that made them look so different from their old selves. Their faces had a new expression, especially the king's, all the sharpness and cunning and quarrelsomeness which he'd picked up as a London cabbie seemed to have been washed away, and the courage and kindness which he'd always had were easier to see.
Upon my word, Polly, my old master's been changed nearly as much as I have. Why, he's a real master now.
Yes, he is.
Now, some of you, undo that tangle of branches you have made with those trees, and let us see what we shall find there.
Diggory now saw that where four trees grew close together, their branches had all been laced together or tied together with switches so as to make a sort of cage. The two elephants with their trunks and a few dwarfs with their axes soon got it all undone. There were three things inside. One was a young tree that seemed to be made of gold. The second was a young tree that seemed to be made of silver. But the third was a miserable object in muddy clothes sitting hunched between them.
Oh. Uncle Andrew!
Yes. Yes, it is I.
What happened to you?
Those stupid beasts thought I was a tree. That's what happened.
A tree?
They tried to plant me and then water me, and then I was buried up to my waist in mud.
Well, why didn't you simply tell them?
Tell them? Try reasoning with these animals. Oh, every time I tried to run away, one of the elephants grabbed me and threw me down again. Finally, they made this cruel cage and threw food at me. Didn't mind the nuts, pears, apples and bananas so much, but the bears dropped a bee's nest with honey in, and the honey covered my face, and the birds gave me worms, and the donkeys pelted me with thistles. They kept me in this cage all night. Oh, I'm a lamentable creature. Look at my trousers! Ruined! They're ruined!
Bring out that creature.
I'll talk to Aslan for you, if you like.
Talk to Aslan?
The lion.
You've gone mad. Just leave me to lie here in peace. I'm so tired.
Aslan, please, could you say something to unfrighten him? And then you could say something to prevent him from ever coming back here again.
Do you think he wants to?
Well, he might send someone else. He's so excited about the bar of the lamppost growing into a lamppost tree, and he thinks...
He thinks great folly, child. This world is bursting with life for these few days because the song with which I called it into life still hangs in the air and rumbles in the ground. It will not be so for long. But I cannot tell that to this old sinner, and I cannot comfort him either. He has made himself unable to hear my voice. If I spoke to him, he would hear only growlings and roarings. O Adam's sons, how cleverly you defend yourselves against all that might do you good. But I will give him the only gift he is still able to receive. Sleep. Sleep. And be separated for some few hours from all the torments you have devised for yourself.
Yes, sleep. What a marvelous idea.
You beasts, carry him aside and lay him down. Now, dwarves, show your smithcraft. Let me see you make 2 crowns for your king and queen. Rise up, King and Queen of Narnia, father and mother of many kings that shall be in Narnia and the Isles and Arkenland. Be just and merciful and brave. The blessing is upon you.